This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, make me a steward of your bounty. Where there is need, let me see it. Where there is abundance, let me share it. Where there is time, let me spend it. And where there is treasure, let me use it to your glory. Amen. Beware of those wearing long robes, saying long prayers, and who get the best seats in the synagogue. Mary, I think we're in trouble. This is an important gospel for us, as short as it is. It appears in a similar place in Luke's gospel, but we don't hear that in our three-year cycle of readings. And many years, this particular gospel gets preempted by our All Saints and All Souls celebration. But since we did that last week, we hear it today. Important gospel. I want to start with a little humorous story that I ran across. A man calls the church and asks if he could speak with the head hog at the trough. And the parish admin says, "Who?" She gathers herself together and says, "Sir, if you mean our rector, you'll have to treat him with a little more respect than that and ask for the reverend or the pastor or the father. But certainly you can't refer to him as the head hog at the trough." And the man said, "Well, I understand. I was calling because I have $1 million I was thinking about giving to the church." And she responds, "Hold on for just a moment. I think the big pig just walked in the door." I must say that if you have that kind of a donation to give, you can call me whatever you want, okay? The point of the person, though, that tells that story is an introduction to sort of a discussion on what our financial donations really mean and how we, especially we who wear the long robes and say the long prayers and all that stuff, are called to be completely righteous, that the least of us is just as important as the greatest of us, the youngest, the oldest, the smallest, the largest, that there is no differentiation in the way we are meant to love. And that's really what the gospel is about today. Picture, if you will, a tuba turned upside down. And that's sort of what that treasury would have looked like in the temple. And scholars tell us there were several of these type of upside-down tubas, and they were labeled that you could give to different things, causes within the temple and the synagogues and so forth as you desired. And when people would come, they didn't have paper money in those days. So when you came into the temple, and those who were self-righteous and wanted it to be known would take their coins and drop them in, and everybody within earshot would know, there's a good one. I can remember, conversely to that, when I was at a different church, there was a certain gentleman as an usher, and we had those sorts of baskets that you would pass with the long poles. You've seen those before. And because coins don't mean as much in terms of money in our day and age as paper did, that whenever somebody would put coins in that particular collection basket, he would shake it like that to let everybody know this person just gave coins. It was terribly embarrassing. We were fortunate to get him to stop doing that. But it would make that same sort of sound. So picture Jesus in that synagogue, and he's hearing that sound over and over and over again. And then suddenly, out of the silence, there is this. The widow's mite. Bob Leneve, our parish numismatist, is that the right word? So Bob gave this to me several years ago, and it is an actually verified widow's mite, that particular coin from the time of Jesus. Now, I asked Bob if I could take it out of there and use that which I drop into here, and you should have seen his eyes light up this morning, because you take it out of this thing and it's going to destroy the case and you lose the value of the thing. So, if you want to see it, I'm happy to show it to you, but it's a tiny little coin. It's about the third the size of a penny, and it wouldn't have even made the type of sound that you heard when I dropped a real penny in there. The important point of this message, I think, is that Jesus sees her. Just like Jesus sensed in another section of Mark's gospel, that woman who wanted to touch his cloak to be healed of her hemorrhages. That same seeing and noticing that Jesus has in another place where that woman takes that expensive perfume to anoint him. It's that same sort of seeing that Jesus does with this widow. All three of those I just mentioned go unnamed. We really don't know who they were, where they went after this episode, but Jesus noticed. It becomes perhaps a call to me and a call to all of us to pay attention to the invisible people. I have shared before what remains for me one of the most powerful stories I've experienced in our life at this church. Some years ago, we were doing a capital campaign, and we wanted different people to get up and give a testimony as to how they were going to be able to make a sacrificial gift towards our capital campaign. And I was very surprised when someone came up to me very excited that she wanted to give her testimony. Her name was Barbara Weston. Barbara worked at Walgreens. Barbara made a minimum wage. But Barbara was so excited because she found a way that she could do something special. And I want to remind us all by playing that clip once again, if we can get it to go.
My name is Barbara Weston. I currently work at Walgreens as a service clerk. I moved to Florida from New Hampshire approximately 2.5 years ago and have been attending St. Joseph's for about 2 years. Recently, Father Marty explained how he and his family could make a commitment for the capital campaign and asked all of us to do the same. Initially, I was puzzled as to how I could give much of anything. My first thought after thinking it over was I could limit my going to Dunkin' Donuts to once a week, taking about $5 per week 52 weeks a year times 3 years, that comes to $780. I am still looking for ways to increase my commitment. I'm making a commitment because St. Joseph's has given me and continues to give me much in support and caring, and I want to pass it along to others. Thank you.
St. Barbara. She was called home a few years after she gave that testimony. Barbara, when she was at Walgreens, was one of those invisible people. And every time you went to that Walgreens on Congress, she would say, whether she knew you or not, when you were leaving, "Have a blessed day." I went back to that Walgreens about a month or two after she had died and went up to the cash register to pay, and the gentleman there checked me out and gave me my bag, and as I'm walking away, he says, "Have a blessed day." I turned in my tracks and I said, "Did you know Barbara Weston?" And he lit up, and he says, "Of course." And he said, "And you know, I decided after she died, I'm going to start saying that to every person who checks out here." One of the invisible people, not only to find the ways that her widow's mite could be something so valuable, but she gave of herself too. Notice Jesus doesn't criticize the people who gave more into that treasury, but he does point out that the percentage gift that that widow gave was so much more greater because it wasn't out of her abundance she gave sacrificially. I want to end today not talking about finances, but talking about seeing the invisible people like Jesus does here. There are tons of invisible people that we're encountering every day. And after the last year and a half, they are running on empty. Whether it's the checkout person at Publix or the school bus driver or the person who answers the phone when we call our doctor, they only have an ounce left. It's our opportunity to help increase that ounce by the way we treat people. It might just be that one thing that's going to enable them to turn their day around, to turn maybe even their life around, when we start seeing those invisible people in the same way Jesus does. Let's look for the ways we can do that. Amen.